This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
The Nets, what an unmitigated embarrassment this was.
All those things off the floor play a role in what happens on the floor as well.
3 years, KD's almost 34 years old, and all you have to show for it is one playoff series win, that's it.
A lot of stuff that may factor into why we lose, but they were just a better team.
Kyrie fancies himself as like this great inspirational leader.
Got to make some moves this offseason and really talk about it, really be intentional about what we're building and have some fun with it.
That's as disappointing a season as I ever remember.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Santa, you're funny today. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Is there anybody happier this morning than Santiago, Rick? I mean, he is feeling it, isn't he?
No, he probably has his Knicks thing on, feeling good.
Ray, you wearing the Knicks thing?
I am not. I should
have. You have
not.
The Cowboys thing on?
No.
What the hell?
No,
are you
he's
wearing?
Disgusted with the Cowboys right now.
Oh yeah,
disgusted.
I'm totally
disgusted. I could tell.
I was telling Rick this is probably the most like I could not care less about the draft this year, and that's a first for me.
Yeah, you say that now, and then when it rolls around and we get to 8 o'clock on Thursday night, you'll be like, ooh, like you're an addict. You can't help yourself.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I know I'm right. We're all the same way, because Thursday is actually the day of hope for everybody.
But what I said is true. Like, I can't remember being this, like, apathetic about it going in.
Why really. Is that? Why are you so down on the Cowboys?
Well, the playoff loss didn't help, and just their whole attitude and their approach this offseason has not been great. I'm not a fan of what they're doing.
Yeah, but Ray, you can't win a championship in the offseason, right?
That's what Stephen Jones says. I mean, how the hell would he know?
Oh, yes. I love it. He's despondent. Does RJ walk in every day and just remind you of that playoff loss?
No, not at all.
Oh, if I was RJ,
RJ is very, very classy. You know, he very humble. You know, very unlike the Nets is RJ.
Wow.
And to bring it full circle, that's kind of why I am the way I am in the past 12 hours or so.
So you hate Brooklyn?
I don't hate them, but I feel like they deserve everything that they're getting in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Yes, the news cycle is Brooklyn, and let's be fair, Rick, in 24 hours, we won't even be mentioning the Brooklyn Nets.
No, I would probably say the next 20 minutes or so.
Right, we'll move on, and that'll be it. See, that's the nice thing about Brooklyn. You're Brooklyn, the expectation is you're going to win the whole thing, you're going to be great, you're awful, you embarrass yourselves, one of the most embarrassing performances we've seen, it matters for a minute, and then people will move right on.
Yeah, and it's like you almost get a... Just as far as what we talk about on the show or how involved, you know, Nets fans want to be, it's like they're just ready to get to the postseason. Like they get the pass for the regular season. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll really dig in once we get to the postseason. Because that's how this team is going to be judged.
Wow. If that's how they're going to be judged, this is the judgment day is not going to be good for them.
Well, I think they got to realize, too, that, I mean, the regular season is important. It is. Clearly. It's important.
Obviously, it means more than they thought it meant.
Well, yeah, but I just it should, and it should, right? Like Boston deserved to win the series, and they did.
Yes, they were the better team coming into the series. They were the favorites in the series, and they showed why the entirety of the series. Let's take a listen, then we'll get to the calls at 1-800-919-3776, and then move over to the Mets, who had a sensational victory last night. Here is Kyrie Irving. He felt like he let the team down, and he mentions Ben Simmons in this one as well.
We all felt it. I felt like I was letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. You know, we were trying to exercise every option for me to play, but I never wanted to just be about me. And I think it became a distraction at times. And, you know, as you see, we just had some drastic changes. You know, we lost a franchise player. We got a franchise player back, but, you know, we didn't get a chance to see him on the floor. There was no pressure for him either to step on the floor with us either. You know what I mean? Like Ben's good. We have Ben, we have his back. He's going to be good for next year. But now we just turn the page and look forward to what we're building as a franchise and really get tougher.
It's not so easy to just turn the page.
For him, it is. Yeah, I think that's part of the problem.
I mean, if you're a Nets fan today and you hear that, how do you live with this guy?
Well, just turn the page. You're devastated, man.
You just turn the page. Yeah, I mean, you had a loss. You had one of the most disappointing seasons we've seen in NBA history. Just turn the page. Turn it.
I wish it was that easy. I mean, that should be a law. I mean, this should be a series that sticks with you forever.
Should haunt you, that series.
Yeah. Absolutely.
After the game, we just turned the page.
Especially especially with how he looked after game one. You know, like he was great in game one, but then after that.
What did you
expect to have happened, though, too? Like it became about, of course it was going to become about you if you couldn't play.
Well, he couldn't play because of a decision that he made. Who would that be about? Who would that be about?
Yeah, but you're not some schlub on this team. Like, you know, some role player that, you know, it's okay. He's made the decision, which is fine. Everyone is, you know, has the right to make that decision. I mean, you're one of the focal points on this team that's favored to win the NBA Finals. Then we're at a point where the team says you can't play because we can't have a part-time player. Of course it was going to become about you because everyone else on the team.
His awareness, you know what it is? His lack of awareness is staggering to me. Staggering. That he has no understanding that it all flows through him. And if he makes a decision, which you know, there's ramifications throughout the team, that he has no understanding that this is going to be about him. Who would this be about? Seth Curry? No, it's going to be about him.
Yeah, I don't get it. And there's plenty of blame to go around. It starts up top with Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and them just completely turning over this team to KD and Kyrie. I mean, hey, listen, I have a hard time bashing Steve Nash because I don't think I never thought Steve Nash was a good coach to begin with.
You think they're going to bring him back, don't you?
Oh, he's coming back.
Oh, God.
Which is why I think that Kyrie's going to come back, because KD runs the... I mean, KD...
They're going to run the whole
show.
Thing back again.
Okay, well, because they'll make all the excuses that you didn't... I mean, you just heard Kyrie about, you know, we traded a franchise player and we got back a franchise player. Oh, yeah, that didn't play. Didn't help you at all. Hasn't played since June.
What kind of owner is Joe Tsai that he's just going to be like, all right, guys, we run it back again?
I don't know if he has a choice, Dave. Like, if you move off of Kyrie, what are you replacing him with? Like, you don't know if, like, it's not like you feel good about Ben Simmons.
No, you can't feel anything about Ben Simmons.
Oh, okay. So then we're going to just roll with KD?
I don't know. I don't think it's so easy.
No, I think it's going to be easy. I think Kyrie's going to sign either an extension or he'll opt out of his, or he'll opt out and sign the 5-year max.
Yeah, 5 for $249. And then everything that comes along with that, enjoy it. D in Queens. D, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
I mean, hear the smile on your face, D.
I have another crazy take that, you know, the crazy take I took before, everyone looked at as crazy. This one's going to sound crazy, but two teams that should blow it up, burn it down to the studs, trade everybody, the Lakers and the Nets. KD is an old 34. LeBron didn't start getting hurt until he was 34, and now he's 38. They need to get rid of him for draft picks, and the same thing the Nets should do with KD. He's never been healthy with the Nets. And then with all this drama, try to trade him for a top pick in this draft coming up and call it a day.
And then be what? And then do what?
It's better than what you're getting. Well, you're spending all this money dealing with all this drama, and you can't get past the second round. What's the point?
The second round? You can't get past the first round this season.
Exactly. He's been there 3 years. He's been hurt 3 years in a row.
Well, the first year he was coming back. I mean, the first year they knew it was going to be a burnt year, coming back from the Achilles.
Okay, and part of the reason Harden left is because he had to hold it down because KD was hurt last year.
Harden got hurt last year too. So I don't want to hear that.
Towards the end of the year because Steve Nash ran him into the ground. The fact that Steve Nash does run it back.
Well, but that's what Steve Nash does. Steve Nash, I mean, you saw that. That's part of the problem this season. Well, it was because Kyrie was unavailable and Harden came into camp fat, and then KD misses the 21 games. Oh, by the way, they're 5-16 in those 21 games. Is that down the stretch to put themselves in a position to actually, you know, try and make a playoff run? Is KD and Kyrie had to play, you know, 40 minutes a night, and then you get into a series that's not a great matchup because the size, the physicality of Boston, going up against a coach who was on your bench, right? Like, I mean, is there a coach that knows this team better that you were going to see in the first round?
This was the worst matchup, and we didn't realize it at the time. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPH on Rothenberg is always presented by your good friends at Progressive Insurance. Ron in New City. Good morning, Ron. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Rick. How you guys doing today?
We're doing really well, Ron. Really well. Thank you.
The guy I saw playing with, Kyrie, is a shell of himself. He's not worth anything. I can't believe KD is hitching his wagon to this guy. This, I mean, KD is the most amazing offensive player ever to me, but this is just insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't listen. Kyrie is a fantastic basketball player.
Yeah,
he's Kevin Durant's guy. They made a decision. We want to go someplace, and we want to build it the way we see it.
But at some point, wouldn't you think about deviating from the plan that doesn't look like it's going to be effective?
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends. How hungry are you for a championship? Or are you just happy?
He'd be hungry? No.
Well, but KD's got two. Kyrie's got one.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that look at those KD two and said you joined a team that was a championship team. Now he was the best player on those teams, but I think there's a lot of people that look and say, let's see what he does when he branches out on his own.
Well, yeah, because it's going to be. I mean, ultimately, it's going to be KD's legacy that gets affected by not winning a championship.
Absolutely, it is.
Like, as good as Kyrie is, he's not at that. He's not looked at like KD is looked.
He's
at.
Not looked at as an all-time great, nor should he be.
He's an all-time talent, but no, he's not. I don't think people look at him on the same level as Kevin Durant.
No, nobody does. Kenny in Jersey. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, fellas. My take is pretty simple. It seems like because of LeBron James and because of Tom Brady, everybody's not paying attention that KD is 34 or 33 or 34, and that's old in sports. And that 7 foot frame, if he can't shoot over you, if he's not getting the elevation, and he can't shoot over you anymore, then that's his problem now. He's not getting the elevation. He's 34 coming off of that Achilles, so he's not elevating over people. So that 7 foot frame is not so much of an advantage no more.
Well, he needs help.
It's not his fault.
Here's the thing,
it's
Kenny.
Not his fault. He's getting older.
Kenny, well, he needs help. Say you're right. He's going to be 34 years old in September. We've established that. You say he's just not rising over guys. We didn't even start to have that discussion, Rick, until game one of this series.
No,
this is not even a thought.
I will say this though, to Kenny's point though. I mean, how many times have you seen? I mean, the beauty of KD, like he mentioned, he's 7 feet tall, right? So even if you got a hand in his face, you're trying to contest the shot. When he rises up, he's still getting a clean look. I mean, Tatum blocked a shot how many times? I can remember twice off the top of my head.
A ton. This was the best defense I've ever seen played on this guy ever.
Yeah, I mean, they were all over him. They hit him at every opportunity to hit him. They put a body on him, and they wore him down. But this is what happens because, he's 33 years old. He'll be 34 in September. Like, the guy played 47 minutes last night. Like, at a certain point, like, your body doesn't respond the way it used to respond. So he needs help.
And he's got a lot of basketball on those tires.
I mean, you saw it a bunch of different times last night, too. It's like, okay, KD's got the ball, and everyone's just standing around. Which plays perfectly into what Boston wants to do.
Of course. We're going to blitz him and go ahead and beat us if you think you could beat us. Let's go to Juan in Bethlehem. Good morning, Juan. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. we all agree that the Nets is a dysfunction, right? So
yes.
I want to ask, does that change your view a little bit on James Harden, the way he got out of there?
No.
No?
No, I understand why he left, but I don't. The fact that, okay, here's the thing. Now, once you're in the middle of this thing and all of a sudden, vaccine mandate happens, and Kyrie's not available, and all that other stuff goes down, and maybe you have there's some friction between you and Kyrie, or now it becomes about you and KD because he doesn't feel like KD's holding Kyrie responsible or accountable. I get that, but there's no excuse for James Harden to show up to training camp fat and out of shape. Like, he wasn't upset at that point, was he?
No, but that's what he does. Like, you know what the amazing thing for me with this Brooklyn team is? We're surprised with Kyrie. This is what he is. We're surprised with James Harden. This is what he is. So instead of being shocked by it, this is the norm. Accept it. to think you're going to get something different from these guys is a weird strategy. So
no, I know,
mindset.
but their talent is so tantalizing because talent does at the end of it, talent does win in basketball.
Usually,
talent wins.
Yes.
But I mean, listen. I mean, for anyone that loves the idea of, you know, in a team sport, a team really, you know, playing like a team and buying into what the coaches, you know, coaches teaching them, and playing with that kind of edge, like, yeah, I mean, you're happy that the Celtics won.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I don't even like Boston, and I'm happy they won this series.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Very active group chat last night, by the way. Very active. I get RJ, I get Ray, I get Winthrop. Then you with the late night, you know, tweets, texts. I mean, everyone's involved in this.
Winthrop
thing.
Loves. There's no one that loves the group chat more than Winthrop, though.
Mickey style.
No, I think he adores it. I actually find sometimes it just leave me alone. Like I don't want to be. I don't want you to know where I am, what's going on at every moment. Some of these other guys, I feel like they really live for this group texting.
No, I feel like it. You know when like you're texting back and forth with someone, and then all of a sudden like you can see that they're about to respond.
The dots.
I feel like if you monitor our group chat for the entire time, that his like you would see the
You'd
dots.
Always get
just
the dots.
Wait, just waiting.
Well, we can't pounce. Get that. You can't get that because Santiago doesn't have an iPhone.
Oh, it's because he's the stinky droid guy.
Yeah, he's the droid guy.
Yeah, he's the Kyrie of the group chat.
You're the stinky droid guy.
He thinks he's better than us.
If I was the Kyrie guy, I'd be able to make you all follow me. So that's clearly not the case.
You do what you want. You do what you want, and you don't give two you-know-whats about anybody else.
Like I said, if I was Kyrie, you would all be following me. So that hasn't happened. I'm the KD.
Oh, get a walking stick and let's see what happens.
You're the KD, huh?
I'm the weak-minded one.
You're the ED is what you are.
Oh,
right
my
now.
Goodness.
Oh, wow. Is that a problem, Raymond?
I can't say that it's been a problem, though. No.
You're the ED. Oh, my goodness.
And Dave's right. Got a read for you.
Yeah, that's right. Have you tried Blue Chew lately?
They really dropped the ball. I mean, I got to say, in the history of reads on this station, our Blue Chew reads were by far the best.
You can be completely naked, do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. And you'll be all chubbed up.
Those were some phenomenal reads, weren't they?
Oh, my God.
I think
they might
have been too
to
phenomenal.
They couldn't handle them.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was like,
watch.
You know what it was like? It was like Orlovsky with the bagel.
What a terrible take that was.
It's too much. I was telling Cassie yesterday, and she was appalled. And then when you said, she loves you, by the way. When you're like... Hey, guy, listen, maybe the bagel's too much for Dan. Maybe he needs to just stick with the Bialy.
That's a good line.
That was such. No, I don't think everyone picked it up. It was such a good line.
It's a very good line. All right. How great. I mean, you're in a mood and you think the Mets are going to lose. They're down 2-0. Michaelis is phenomenal. They get their bullpen in there and they take care of business. And let's be fair. I think we were all resigned to the fact that the Mets were going to lose that game last night until they didn't. Right? Until you get the error, the hit, the great effort from Dom Smith, the two-run score on that play because Gallegos is just kind of, you know, taking a moment to turn around. Then you get the home run. Diaz, boom, boom, boom. What a win. You get like one, two, maybe three of those if you're lucky in the course of a season, and the Mets got one last night.
Yeah, I mean, you had that one chalked up as a really disappointing loss, as a wasted...
A wasted Max Scherzer start loss last night for the Mets.
Correct. Yep. Correct, because he was filthy again. I mean, that's back-to-back games with 10 strikeouts. I mean, he is Dude, you want to talk about just an absolute bulldog on the mound. I mean, that guy, and you saw him, I mean, that was his second to last pitch where he really reared back. Like, okay, I know this is it.
He knew he was done.
I mean, I can't even imagine if and when Jake comes back. I mean, those two, like if God forbid for other teams, that it's those two at the top of the rotation and they're right and they're healthy, forget it.
It's terrifying. And then you mix in whoever else you have, right? Be it Bassett or McGill or Peterson or Carrasco.
They've all been good.
Every single one of them. I guess the worst start you've gotten was the one from Bassett after they swept the doubleheader. His last start, right? His last time out was not great against the Giants.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy about it. I mean, McGill was great the last start, but the one before that, you know, he struggled a little bit, but he bared down and got his way through it. See, that's the beauty of what this team does, though, and it starts with the starting pitching staff. But I mean, this team, and you saw last night, like you were given a gift. Like Nolan Arenado makes that play, you know, 99 out of 100 times,
maybe even more,
probably. And you know, he took it for granted. They a bad throw. I mean, we're down to our last strike, two outs, last strike.
Good at bat from Canna, by the way. Real good at bat.
Well, he starts out down 0-2, right? So again, to all those analytic nerds, you put the ball in play, good things happen, right? Like put some pressure on the make them make a play, someone make a play.
That's what they did.
A couple times they did.
That's not an easy play for Arenado. It's just that he's so good that it looks like it's an easy play. And he takes this bizarre run, throws the ball away. Mets get the run on that. Then they get the base hit. Then they get the next base hit, and they're dialed in. And here's the
thing. You know what? I'll say this though, when McNeil hits that double.
Yes.
And Jankowski doesn't score. I was like, oh, no.
Well, but of course you were, because your thought is they're not going to get another hit. But they're very aggressive, and it turns out it was the right move. Now, I don't know if you saw, they did like the split screen of him hitting third and the relay going in. It was not a good relay. He would have scored had they sent
him. He would have.
But they had no idea. And then Dom Smith hits the ball hard, hustles down the line. I don't know what Gallegos is doing in that point. I mean, he's like lollygagging over to first base.
No, how about Jeff McNeil, though, too? And how about Jeff McNeil scoring from second? He was like, you know what? As soon as Dom Smith makes contact, I'm going to score.
I'm going. Good for him. Here is Jeff McNeil when he realized that he could score on that play.
Kind of right away, you know, right as soon as Dom hit the ball, I took a peek. I saw Goldspin making a, you know, great play, and I saw the pitcher kind of not get off the mound as well. So I knew it was going to be close to first base, and, you know, as soon as I hit third, turned my head in, saw the guy step on the base, saw kind of Dom be safe, and, you know, he took a little, you know, glance at the umpire to see, you know, out or safe, and knew right then, you know, time to go. And
yeah, and he makes it. Now, I think you're going to love this soundbite. I think you will absolutely love this because it's accurate and it shows the difference between the last year and this. It's McNeil saying, we didn't win games like this last season.
It was a huge win, you know, just to battle back. You know, it was a lot of fun out there. You know, this team is grinding, and, you know, these wins are huge. You know, I think these are the wins, you know, we didn't really have last year. I think they were kind of the other way around, you know, some teams coming back on us, which, you know, sucks. So feels good to be the team to, you know, do it to them.
So what's changed? That's what I ask you. What's changed from last year when they're losing games like this to this year where they're finding ways to win games?
Everything has changed. Everything. I mean, that's one of those belief games, too, where you start building that belief that it doesn't matter. Like, you'll find a way. But, I mean, for me, it was Steve Cohen recognizing that there was a clubhouse issue and then addressing it this offseason with Buck, first and foremost with Buck, then the players that he signed, right? I mean, Canna, Marte, Escobar. Then you bring in Scherzer, who's another leader on that team.
He's
Bassett.
Filthy.
Like, I mean, they have... Like, and there's a reason. You're right. Like, I think every Mets fan that you talk to, like all my Mets buddies, just say it feels different.
Because it is different. That's why it feels different, because it is different. How about this now? How many days would you say since the last time Max Scherzer lost a game? How many days?
It's a lot of days, because I had it written down at some point that he hadn't lost.
Remember, he went to the Dodgers and I think went undefeated last year, right?
He didn't lose at the Dodgers.
Right. So how many days would you say since Max Scherzer last lost a start?
Including the offseason and everything else?
Yeah. Why don't you take a minute, and I'll let you know that with no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC. All right, back to it. How many days, including the offseason, since Max Scherzer lost his last game?
Can we play Price is Right? I mean, this seems like a perfect time for a little Price is Right.
Of course we can play.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know what? I almost shouldn't tell you this because I think you might lose all respect for this person.
No, but you got to tell me. No,
for the
tell
sake
me.
Of the show. You know what? I'm going to tell you what it is, and I won't even tell you who it is right off the bat. How about if I told you that there's someone that you're close with that doesn't appreciate rye?
Kay doesn't like rye.
Nope. Closer.
Closer than Kay.
Well, because Kay's eating habit, that would not surprise you. This one hurts.
RJ Santillo doesn't like rye.
RJ Santillo doesn't like rye.
No, I didn't say I don't like it. I said it's overrated.
Oh.
See, why do you have to go that far, though, and say it's overrated?
Because Dave
perfectly
was...
Perfectly rated.
Dave was making it seem like that was... When they invented sliced bread, that was the bread. That was
rye
the
is a delicious bread.
It's fine.
And it's not fine.
It's fine.
No.
Yeah.
Rick?
There's too much taste for RJ, I bet. It's just his simple palate.
It overwhelms him. He's a simple man.
So that's your number... Your power ranking bread. That's number one for you.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
no,
but here's the thing, though. It depends on what kind of sandwich you're putting, what kind of meat or whatever you're putting on the bread.
If I say this sandwich and then on rye, what do you say no? Turkey on rye? Roast beef on rye? No. You throw
pastrami
lettuce, tomato?
On rye?
Anything works on rye.
I wouldn't have a BLT on rye.
Okay, fine. But that's not what he said. He said rye is overrated.
Stand by it.
It's an awful take.
It's a strong take, though. I mean, he stands by it.
But it's a bad take. It's Orlovsky level take.
No, it's not.
So you think Orlovsky sounds foolish to say that a bagel with cream cheese is not good?
I do love the cream cheese.
Who doesn't? Except Orlovsky.
Doesn't love cream cheese. All right. So a little addendum before we play the game. It's regular season games, right? So he did take a loss in the postseason, but how many regular season games has this guy? How many consecutive days since he's taken a loss in the regular season?
All right, let's go music. Give me some Price is Right music. Let's go.
Price is Right music. Here we go. RJ, are we overdoing the Price is Right?
No, we're not.
Okay, good. You hear his disdain in his voice. All right. Would you like to go first or would you like to defer? The showcase is shown to you. How many days in the regular season since Max Scherzer has last lost a game? Rick, would you like to bid on the showcase?
I will bid on the showcase, yes.
All
so
right.
I know that he did not, you know, regular season-wise, did not lose once he was traded to the Dodgers.
Okay.
So if I'm doing some quick math, that was probably, you know, end of July, so we'll go August till now. It's around two, add a month. I'll go, that's a lot of days, man. I'm going to go with 300 days, Dave. 300 days.
300 days is locked in. RJ, where do you go?
So I'm going to follow your thought process here. I'm going to go less than you. I'm going to take 225 days.
Ooh. 225 days, so considerably less. Raymond, for the showcase.
See, this is why I don't like playing the game, because a number I wanted to take gets taken, and then I lock up.
So you wanted to take 225?
No, not 225.
You wanted to take 300.
I wanted to take 300.
All right, so let me play counselor for you here.
No, don't help him.
I think I understand. I'm going to try without the
Ray,
counsel.
Ray, we've been doing this for years.
Yes. Again, but
you
know how I feel about this.
You might understand?
You know how I feel about this. You know how I feel about this. So I'm just going to throw the number out and hope it's for the best, and we'll move on. I'm going to say 301.
301, Raymond Santiago finally seems to understand. Max Scherzer has not lost a game in the regular season in 330 days.
Wow.
Almost a full calendar year.
That's crazy.
How insane is that?
That is crazy. I'm happy he's on my team.
Aren't you, though?
Well, that's the other thing, though, too. I mean, you got to look at it, is that the Mets have won every single one of Max Scherzer's starts so far this season.
Correct.
Right, we talked about that with Gerrit Cole.
Four? And the first two, he wasn't even great.
Yeah, but last two, man. I mean, last two, seven innings, 10 Ks in both games.
Right.
He's a horse, man. Like he's the definition.
Exactly
he's the definition of an ace, man.
He's exactly what you need. You know why? For multiple reasons. Firstly, when he's not great, he keeps you in the game. When he's great, he's as good as any pitcher in baseball. You win the games. He gives you length. Like, honestly, I can't. I mean, he's a bulldog. You can see the intensity that he brings to the table. I can't think of a negative with him right now.
No. Like, that for me is a guy that I would want to go balls to the wall for. Like, watching him pitch. Like, you name the player. Like, and I'm standing there watching him pitch. Like, I'm doing whatever it takes to make sure I'm getting him outs. Like, that guy watching him pitch. That inspires me. Like, I want to be great for him.
I don't know how it couldn't. Now, how about this little ditty that was sent to us in the group chat, so I'm not going to play guessing
from Jack and Diane?
No. Most career games. Did you say Jack and Diane?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Most career games with 10-plus Ks and one or fewer walks in a game. One Randy Johnson, 79. Max Scherzer, second all-time with 67.
Yeah, I think we all realize he's that good. I mean, he will walk right into the Hall of Fame.
He is just that good. Here is the manager of the Mets, Buck Showalter. What was the most exciting part of that ninth inning last night?
Canna had a great at bat. Great at bat. Great base running by Smitty and McNeil, anticipating that. Obviously, some big hits. There was a lot of good things went into that. Somebody was going to lose that game tonight with two really good starting pitching outings, but. And Edwin was good in the end. Didn't let him get off the deck and get into that area they're batting order that's you're really concerned about. Or a whole batting order you're concerned about, but especially there when you get into a certain area.
You know what the great thing is? The Mets never win games like that. I never get that. Ever.
Well, now you do.
Any of my teams.
And now you do. Now you do. I mean, because again, that was one of those games that had it ended... Right, no, O'Neill, you know, O'Neill gets that hit. They're up 2-0. May blows it. You would have felt awful today. It's like, I mean, Scherzer pitches lights out and you blew.
Right, when you get 7 shutout innings from your starting pitcher and you lose the game, you feel a way about it.
Yeah, I mean, he'd give you 7 innings and give up 2 hits. Right, that's one of those games that you have to win. But it was a loss that turned into a win, and I'll take it.
It was. Those are better, by the way. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because there'll be games that you blow, and you just hope those kind of counteract themselves. You know.
Yeah, but I mean to know like we're done, and then I started to rationalize. Well, we got Bassett tomorrow, and we could still win the series, and it was a great outing from Scherzer, and then all of a sudden to have that happen in the ninth inning, I mean, it changes your whole complexion on this team.
Whole complexion against a really good team.
That is
on the
a
road.
Good team. That and you know what. Look what they've done against the good teams. And I know it's an early sample size, I get it. But they had a great series against the Giants. They come out and win that game against the Cardinals. These are the good teams in baseball.
Well, these are the good teams. They took care of their business against the Phillies. Mets, again, you're trying to win your division, so those games are important. I don't care what you say about the team. Like, those are important games.
Absolutely they are, and you get the Phillies again this weekend. I mean, listen, I know there's a ton of season to go. But you're now, what, 5 games up on the Braves and 5.5 games up on the Phillies? If you could somehow split the next 2 against St. Louis and win 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia, you could be 7 games up on Philly at the end of the weekend. That's a big number.
That's a big number, but it's still so early.
I know, but that's a big number. 7 is a big number.
Yeah, 7's a nice number. I mean, everyone would be happy with 7, but it's just, I mean, it's just playing good baseball.
And they
like
are.
Just playing good winning baseball.
And you know what the difference is? Every single night, you like your starter. You don't have that guy. I mean, yeah, the other night with Trevor Williams, but that's just because they played the doubleheader against the Giants. Every single night, you throw up a starter. You're like, I like my chances with that guy in the mound.
How about your boy Pete, too, making that play in the first on Goldschmidt?
That was a nice play, huh?
Nice play in foul territory.
A real nice play. Here is Buck Showalter. Winning close games builds character.
I think our guys are real mature about knowing it's a great night for our organization, our fans, but because of the game, the way it ended, and the team that we want to win won, but I think they know that there's a lot of baseball and a lot of ups and downs along the way that we've got to be ready for, but these are games that you can reach back for and kind of remember why you do all this.
These are character-building games. That's a great win. I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find a better win during the course of this season.
Well, I don't know about that, but that, I mean, that's one of those ones that starts to build that belief where, I mean, it brings you closer together as a team too, that, I mean, we'll continue to fight and, you know, we're never out of it. All it takes is, I mean, and he mentioned, Buck mentioned, you know, Canna's at bat. You know, starts that thing off, you know, 0-2, and then finds a way to get the bat on the ball and at least force Nolan Arenado to make a play.
That's right. If you strike out, you have no chance. If you at least hit a weak grounder, you make him make the play, and you hustle down the line. And good things happen when you put the ball in play, when you hustle.
Of course it does. But that, again, that's why the whole analytic nerd, you know, garbage. I was just going to swear there, but the whole garbage with, you know. Yeah, I just it drives me crazy.
Swear on air?
No, it drives me
crazy.
You
know, they probably just send you like a gift.
I'll tell you what,
thank
you.
We haven't had anybody swear on air in quite a long time. We'd like to send you this as a thank you for that.
Tell me if you think this is crazy. So now every Major League Baseball park has the humidor, right, for the baseballs?
Yes.
And now home runs are down. I can't help but feel like this is super intentional by Major League Baseball.
What?
More importantly,
so then we get to contract negotiations, or this guy hit 48 home runs?
No, I think this is, like, reading a lot of what Theo Epstein has said, and next year, you know, you'll have no shift and everything else, is that they're, for entertainment purposes, is, you know, they've, because the game has gotten so smart with analytics and shifting and everything else, you know, home runs or walks, like, it, the entertainment value of baseball has paid the price for that, right?
Yes.
So now all of a sudden, if, you know, we know, you know, balls aren't going, you know, going out of the park the way they used to, well, we can't afford to have our team completely, you know, solely built around home runs. Like, we're going to need guys to put the bat on the ball. So more guys that put the bat on the ball, you know, more now gives more opportunities for you to see the athleticism involved with the sport, which
so
is what they're trying
is
to bring
a
back.
Plan for Major League Baseball.
I do.
To bring back the athleticism in the sport. Listen, I mean, whatever it takes, right?
Well, I mean, it's not like you haven't seen them do it before.
No, I mean, they've manipulated this game before.
Well, we need more home runs. Let's juice up the baseball.
Yep, they did that. Now they're going to go the other way. All right, you weren't here last week, but RJ ran point on a great CMT. We'll see if he can duplicate that.
To cuddle.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Cuddle, marry, trash brought to you by Jack Pocket. And welcome back to Rick.
You jacked that pocket, RJ.
No, thank you. So, the... It's always difficult to... I have great admiration for Dave's ability to pivot from those.
Oh, he's been told.
So...
Yeah, otherwise they call me and they say, listen, can you return the fruit basket we never sent you?
Can you send us one? You now owe us a fruit basket.
You let Rick so out of line today that you need to send something to us.
I have great admiration for your gift.
It's gifts, Dave. You have a gift.
You do.
Thank you.
All righty. So, talked about it earlier. The Nets, obviously, out. Swept by the Celtics.
Bye-bye.
So, we've assigned quite a bit of blame. And I want to know who you want to assign the most blame to. I'm going to leave Kevin Durant out of this. So, Cuddle Mary Trash, who deserves most of it for Brooklyn being where they are right now. Is it Kyrie Irving? Is it Steve Nash? Or is it Sean Marks?
I think this is an easy one.
All right, the obvious marriage is Kyrie Irving. I mean, I would give him all three if I could. So Kyrie, I'll marry him. I'm going to cuddle Steve Nash and I will trash Sean Marks.
I think that's an awful answer.
Because
I'm actually disgusted by your answer.
If you don't marry Kyrie, you should remove.
No, I think this is clear and obvious. You got to marry. You got to marry Sean Marks.
You're out of here.
What do you mean? He's
mind.
The one. He's the one that's allowed all this to happen.
You should recuse yourself.
No, he empowered Kyrie and KD.
You know what? Whatever illness you had, it has gone to the brain. I mean, it's attacking your brain.
Well, if that's the case, I definitely need another edible arrangement. Early, if you're listening.
Can I get bananas?
I don't feel great. I'm going to marry Sean Marks. I'm going to cuddle Kyrie. And then I never thought, you know, Steve Nash was a great coach anyway. I will trash Steve Nash.
All right. Firstly, it's a terrible take. Secondly, can I give my answers and you do the same without the other guy interjecting of how awful you've now done there?
It was an awful. I didn't interject.
You're not marrying Kyrie is awful. It's an embarrassment for you. Your kids are probably rolling over in their beds like, what did dad just do?
No, they're actually sleeping. Santillo, tell me, who's... Because I think Dave's answer is disgusting.
So who would I go with?
Yes.
Yeah. No. Who the guy sitting next to you? Yeah, of course you.
Well, I was going to side with you, but now you're
the rye. The rye bread.
You were
going to
say Marx is the marrying guy?
Yeah, I mean, without...
Oh, come on. You know what? This is a guy that doesn't like rye. He doesn't eat rye.
No, I side with neither of you.
And there it goes.
This is
Santi, you be the voice of reason. Who are you marrying?
I actually agree with Dave on this one.
Thank you.
I think it's Kyrie. Sean Marks is just along for the ride. You can't blame him.
Oh, that's great. That's just what you want. Yeah, the GM along for the ride.
How many GMs are along for the ride? Yeah.
Listen, you knew what this was. You knew what this was.
See, Raymond understands.
You guys are the worst.
I picture Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving with his feet up in Sean Marks' office, and Sean tries to come in. There's like, Sean, not now. Get out.
Yeah, I don't have time for you now, Sean.
He's like, KD and Kyrie are sitting on, like, they got their feet up at the desk, and then Sean has to come in, like, sit, like, on the edge of the couch.
Yeah.
He's with his legs crossed. He's with his family. I promise they'll let me in sometimes.
Guys at the podium literally talking about Sean and myself and Joe. We're going to
Whose fault is that?
Come on.
That's his.
No, that's Sean Marks' fault.
Oh,
stop.
How can you blame Sean?
All right, let's go. Continue.
All right, continue.
So, voluntary workouts, keyword voluntary, going on around the NFL. And some notable names absent. Mekhi Becton of the Jets.
Ugh.
Deebo Samuel of the Niners, and perhaps on the Jets' radar. And until yesterday, Dave, Kadarius Toney of the Giants. But he went kind of the opposite direction of how it normally goes, where he was absent until the team announced they are looking to trade him, possibly, or listening to offers. And then he showed up, which is interesting. So I ask you, though. Cutter-Mary Trash most likely to be traded before the start of next season.
Ooh, I like this.
Is it Tony? Is it Becton? Or is it Deebo?
That's a good question. Rick, you go ahead. And whatever answer you give, I'm not going to jump you for it.
Kadarius was there the whole time. They didn't even know it. I'm going to marry... This is a tough question, RJ. Because obviously Deebo was the one that... I mean, that would be the one that would be easiest to move if the Niners want to move him.
See, they want two ones for him.
Yeah. I was watching some video on Deebo, too, the other day where they had like this. RJ, have you seen that video where he's at a club and they had the.
Oh, they had the sign that says Deebo staying or something?
Yeah, and he's like giving it the no, there's no chance I'm staying.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to be swayed by the video. I will marry Deebo.
It's most likely to be traded? Is that the question?
Most likely. I will cuddle Mekhi. And I will trash Kadarius.
That's a big cuddle.
You got to really wrap your arms around.
You're going to need a California King to cuddle that.
Sadly, because I hate to agree, but
agree.
I have to.
Oh, because it was
I
a terrific,
they're not,
a terrific
they're not,
answer.
They're not trading Tony because I don't think they could get fair value in return for him. So I will trash Tony. I will cuddle the largeness of Mekhi Becton, and I will marry one Deebo Samuel.
This game made me sad.
That Mekhi Becton situation is going to completely will completely decide how the Jets handle this draft.
I guess you'll find out. You'll find out more.
Tell us more. You think they're going to trade him, don't you?
I think they would like to trade him, yeah. I just don't know who's going to take him.
And how much are you going to get for him?
At his current size. Well, if you got a pick per pound, you'd be set.
Well, you went it with two ones?
All right. Speak of the draft... Round one Thursday, and something troubling is developing.
Oh, no.
So, Rick, once again, he deserves credit. He's on the show IL, but he's still delivering fat-free whipped cream to the general Baltimore area to Mel Kiper Jr. So we've emailed a couple times. He was originally supposed to come on yesterday or today. Obviously, that has not happened and will not happen today. Tomorrow, we're hopeful, but who really knows? So... we're a show of honesty, right?
Yes.
So I truly want to know, Cuddle Mary Trash, how do we handle this?
So the plan's gone.
The plan is gone.
It is out the window.
Do we remain patient on Mel and hope that he'll come through before the draft? Do we guilt trip him since we've given him, specifically Rick, has given him countless bottles
of
fat-free whipped cream, which he cannot find in his area?
Right.
Or do we punt on the whole thing and ask for the whipped cream back?
Whipped cream is gone.
For a can a day of whipped cream?
Yeah. Yeah.
it's Rain Man. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely whipped cream.
Whipped cream sex party or something.
God knows what he's doing with that whipped cream. I don't even know. All right. So are we patient with him and cut him some slack? Do we guilt him into coming on the show? Or do we punt on this altogether and say, you know what, we're done with you, give us the whipped cream back?
Even the empty bottles, just send them back.
Oh, I think this is an easy one.
No, you know what? I'm sick of you. This is an easy one. And if someone disagrees with what you think is the right answer, now all of a sudden you jump them.
Well, isn't that what the segment's about?
I think I'm going to trash punting on this and demanding the whipped cream back. You don't want to be that guy. You don't be that show that now says, are you not doing what we want? Now send us the whipped cream back. And this idea of empty cans, who the hell wants that?
I don't think we're above that, but okay.
All right. I'm going to trash. Not. We want the whipped cream back.
That's not nice.
That wasn't nice.
I think we, boy, I think patience is a cuddle. And I will marry guilt for multiple reasons. One, I think he owes it to us to come on now. Two, I always look out for our listening audience. The audience wants him to come on and break down the draft Thursday, Friday. So I say, if need be, we guilt him, RJ. You send an email. Oh, with all the whipped cream we had sent you over the last couple of weeks, I thought you could find some time to join the show. That's my order.
Like our show budget is over.
Yeah, we spent all. Yes, yeah. We have to now pay luxury tax.
We need a high rated segment. Please join us, or we will fold.
Yes, and Rick's under investigation now for sending all this whipped cream.
Or what's supposed your
whipped cream? We started off. We had a rocky start, me and you. CMT rocky start, but we're back, baby. I agree with every single one of your answers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Whipped cream is gone. Whipped cream sex party or something. It's gone. I don't know what he's doing with it. It's gone. Clearly, I don't want empty cans. We had a verbal agreement, a contract, if you will. Once we sent the initial package of whipped cream, that he was going to be a regular.
That's right.
So I got no time for patience. The 12 bottles of whipped cream I just sent, that my patience is gone.
Right,
with that
you signed a contract. When you took and ingested the whipped cream, you basically said to us, I am now there for your listening
so
pleasure.
So the plan's gone.
That's what I thought. And that's exactly what better happen.
I hope so. Dave, I want you to know a high-ranking ESPN official texted me, agrees on the overrated rye bread.
Was that before or after the picture of, like, weird bananas and stuff?
different text threat. Yes.
What the hell was that?
I mean, no context is great.
I mean, I get like a banana, a cucumber, and an eggplant wrapped into one here.
That is in our group chat right now.
What is going on?
I think it's supposed to look like
so that's the same guy?
No, a different person.
So it's another weirdo at ESPN, huh?
Oh, this is great. I love this show.
No, rye overrated? I mean, stop it. What a terrible take.
Someone you're close to. That's Cuddle Mary Trash, brought to you by the Jack Pocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Download the app. Get your first Mega Million. Why is that picture there? Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 year old to play. If you are assuming you know it's a gambling problem. I'm looking at it. I don't know why. And WhatsApp call 1-877-8-OPEN-Y. It's at jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service.
I'll give you $1 million if you could guess the text I just received. The last thing you would have said, oh, the banana on the left side, the eggplant in the middle, and the cucumber on the right. No one would ever have guessed. What a bizarre photograph this happens to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.